Welcome everyone to an impromptu episode of Husbo and Sweetie, except today you only get half of that equation. You get the Husbo and the, I would argue, the inferior side of the Husbo and Sweetie experience. My better 50% is at home, but I just have had one of those days that I needed to talk, even if it's just to myself. So I would like to talk about things that I have been thinking about recently. It's now 5:44 p.m. It's August. August the 3rd, 2015. Walking home from work, and I'm listening to some Rammstein. I don't know how you pronounce it. For those of you who don't know, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Usually Husbo and Sweetie is a show where we just talk about whatever we want. Sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's not. Movies, whatever games that we're playing, whatever's tickled our fancy. I'm living in Japan with my wife of now a few years. I'm walking home from my job, and I thought I'd talk about what I'm listening to. Because recently I've had sort of a resurgence into some music I used to listen to, and it's pleasing me quite a bit, so I'd like to just talk about a few bands and see what people think about it, and So anyway, as I was mentioning, I was listening to Rammstein recently, which is a German metal, I don't know if you'd call it techno metal, they had some elements of techno, but not really, more like the Unza, but not all the time, but their rhythm kind of was like that. So German metal heavy guitar band. They sing all in German, obviously, because they're German. Which, for those of us who don't really hear German day to day, German can sound like a scary, scary, scary ass language. And I'm not saying that in a way to be mean, but it's an intimidating language that we say, a lot of harsh sounds. So it lends itself to metal, I feel, in my opinion. Now, I used to listen to Rammstein a lot, just when I was a young man, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. But listening to them recently, you find as you age, I feel, you have less time for irony, and you have less time for things that are just, I like this thing because it's stupid. There is certainly a place for that, I think. There's a way to appreciate things that are maybe not the best, or that are not trying to be the best, or things that are trying so hard but they're not the best. Some of our examples of this may be like the movie Torque, which is a motorcycle racing movie in the style of, I was going to say Need for Speed, of course not. The Fast and the Furious, except all with bikes. And it has some pretty terrible writing, a laughably stupid storyline, and just a bunch of stuff that's really, really, for lack of a better term, stupid. But it's wildly enjoyable, regardless of that. And my wife and I find ourselves enjoying things like that. I don't know if you'd say ironically, because I don't watch a movie like that, or a movie like Mission Impossible 2, for example, which a lot of people really didn't like, I guess, which we adore because it's just so, just off the wall. And we don't think, at least I don't want to speak for my wife, but for myself, I don't think, wow, I like that, it's so stupid. I think that time when he punched the guy with the motorcycle, that was awesome. So I don't know if I enjoy things ironically. I hope I don't, because I really don't. I don't like that. And even people who go back and they watch old cartoons, it's like, man, I really like Conan the Adventurer, or Bucky O'Hare, or Real Ghostbusters, because it's just the writing's so bad and the animation is terrible, and Transformers and all this stuff. I recently tried to rewatch Captain Bucky O'Hare, which is a favorite of my childhood, both the game and the TV show. And I owned a lot of the action figures and ships and everything. And that, for people who don't know, that's a sci-fi story about anthropomorphic animals who are running like a rebellion against a toad empire. So anything reptilian in that universe, it tends to be on the evil side. So think Star Wars, but with mammals on one side and reptiles on the other. Anyway, my point is I didn't even enjoy that. I didn't even enjoy that, ironically. I could not enjoy it on any level because I watched the first episode and it was... should we swear on this thing? I'll just say it was laughably bad and not in a good way. And I don't think I can enjoy things in that way anymore. Now back to music. I got really off track there. But I don't enjoy Rammstein, ironically. I enjoy it because the band is going for it. And maybe there's something about them, I don't know. I never got super hardcore into their lore or anything like that, the backstory of the band. But I love a band that goes for it hard. And they don't leave anything on the table. They just sing their hearts out. They play their hearts out, and they're into it. They're not like, oh, this is a stupid thing we're doing. Like, they're actually into what they're doing. Like, I really appreciate something that gives it its all. And that's not to say I won't enjoy, like, the This Is Spinal Tap or the Detroit Metal City, DMC, which is a hair metal parody of American metal in Japan. Made in Japan, I should say. But a parody of American death metal. There is a place for that stuff, but... And it has to be done really well. As anybody knows, bad parody is the worst thing in the world. Just look at your scary movies or your whatever those are. Those terrible parody movies from the 90s and 2000s. I don't know, maybe some of those are good, I don't know. Anyway, I find myself really enjoying Rammstein again, and even more than I did originally, just technically and sonically really enjoy them. And then a couple other bands I want to talk about that have been kind of taking me back to another time. Sorry if I'm panting, I'm a little out of breath, I'm walking home, it's just been kind of a long day. There's three I'll mention. First up is the Postal Service, which I know many of you will probably know. Just a great band. Lead singer of Death Cab for Cutie, whose name I can't place right now, did a kind of experiment with like a digital sound. And that's been copied many times, and it became sort of a genre unto itself, his style. Owl City, I think, pretty famously copies Postal Service. I don't know if I'm just an idiot for saying that. I mean, when you listen to them back to back, the voice and everything can sound pretty similar. And the lyrics are very... Of course, I don't think Owl City's ripping off Postal Service, but I think that he was heavily inspired by it. And the lyrics and everything are pretty indicative of that. Now, Owl City has become absolute garbage, so I don't, that's become like a weird club party. Hey, let's all have a good time and jump up and down and hey-oh, whoa-oh. It's just all terrible club music. Anyway, the Postal Service. And I recently purchased their album, which was their 10-year anniversary album, and heard it like... 5 or 6 new songs that I'd never heard of theirs, which I'm sure every other Postal Service fan has heard, but I never owned the hard album or the 10 year anniversary of the digital album, so I'd never heard like 5 or 6 of those songs, and so I was rediscovering the old stuff, which I think their albums are absolutely just, every song is unskippable. I think you've really reached a great album when you can go through the whole thing and never skip a song. They're all just totally kick-ass. Some of the extra songs, actually, I think were... I don't know if they were included on the original album. I don't remember. But if they were not, if they were more like B-sides and stuff, I can see why, because they're definitely not as hooky as the ones that everybody knows. Next up on bands of yesteryear, yesterday, yestermonth, is... Matthew Goodband, which was introduced to me, gosh, I would hate to give credit where it didn't come from, but I don't remember. I know that myself and my friend Julian were really into them when we lived together and around those times when I was going to university in Hawaii. And it's a Canadian pop group. I wouldn't say pop, really. It's not pop. It's very unusual. Matthew Good has a really interesting voice, and his lyrics are very cutting, and they're very... There's a heavy layer of sarcasm to them, I think, or of criticism. He feels very self... tearing himself down with his lyrics and also his topics and other things of that time. Sorry, we have a very angry baby walking past. And some of his albums are better than others. I don't know about Matthew Good solo, but Matthew Good Band is really good stuff. It's really hard to find in Japan. I've been looking all over for it and sadly can't find anything. So I just went through my old hard drive and dug out what I could find. But sadly, my old albums with all the saves and re-downloads and re-uploads to hard drives and everything, I haven't been able to recover the entire album. So, and Amazon Japan does not have them, and if they do, they're usually $50 to $60 for a CD. So, gotta find a good deal on those, which is not on Amazon JP. By the way, most people who use Amazon, you go there because it's cheaper. Not the JP version. Amazon Japan is almost 100% of the time is the same price or more expensive. And when you pay for the shipping, it is usually more expensive than just buying it in a store. So I don't know what's the point. I do know what the point is. Not sure if you guys can hear that. Anyway. Matthew Good. Yeah, really good stuff. Great songs, great albums. Check it out. They've long since broken up, but it's worth a listen. Last but not least, definitely not least, Nick Cave. Nick Cave and or the Bad Seeds. Or I shouldn't say and or, I should say Nick Cave or Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Both are good. I know that he does some solo stuff, I guess, but the Bad Seeds is his group. Again, another one, like the last Matthew Good Band, I can't remember if that came from Julian or from one of his friends, and we both enjoyed it. And I remember somebody in our circle really hating it. I know who it was, I'm not going to call him out on this recording, but somebody, one of our acquaintances, really, really hated it. And I didn't know what kind of person he was then, but now you would call him a filthy hipster before there were such things. Pretentious, filthy hipster. Anyway, what was I going to say? Ah, yes. Now I feel bad about calling that person a filthy, pretentious hipster. Okay, not filthy. I should take that back. Very well kept. But, anyway, they didn't like that kind of music. What am I talking about? I'm ranting now. On to the math. God. Should just restart this thing. Nope, no restarts, no recoveries, nothing. We barrel them forward. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Really, I would say to the unacquainted, it's pretty abrasive. It can be pretty difficult to get into, and I found this when I very first heard it, but was very quickly drawn into that weird style of Nick Cave, which is poetic and... grotesque, romantic, and really uplifting, and at the same time, the very next lyric could be the absolute opposite. But he also has some pretty incredible songs that are more like stories, and I don't know why this is. Maybe it's because I love books, or I love reading like long-form stuff, or I like poetry, I don't know what it is, but he has a lot of songs that are these drawn-out stories. One is called The Lyre of Orpheus, where he sings all that song, you know, basically in his style. It's not it's not exactly word for word, but it's his interpretation of the story in his style. And then another one is, God, I can't remember. It's a song about a man who basically decides to kill a bar full of people. One by one, like going through this person, meeting each of them, and he's singing it as the murderer, so it's kind of like his own interpretation of each moment and what he does to each person, and it's incredibly upsetting. But his songs are just very hypnotic and interesting, and for some of them you never want to hear them again because they're upsetting, and others it's very hard to recommend Nick Cave because so much of his stuff is either, as I said, abrasive to somebody who hasn't heard it, or just they maybe heard the wrong song and they're like, that guy's just gross, I don't like him. And if you see him too, he's not a very nice looking guy. He just looks very, he's got very long hair, and he's just kind of a normal looking old guy. So people, if they initially saw him, probably would be like, ooh, what's that guy? He looks like a creepy man. But he's really incredibly smart and really talented. I don't think there's anything wrong with his appearance, but he's definitely not what you would think of when you think of like a musical star. I'm kind of sad that those days are gone where you didn't have to be gorgeous. You could just be a good musician, and that was all it took. God, I sound so old, don't I? But yeah, these days it's really all about how you look, isn't it? No, I'm just sad. Anyway, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Or just Nick Cave. Massey Good Band. Postal Service. Rammstein. These are the things I'm usually listening to. Also, I just started listening to a group called M83 or M83, who are really, really, really wetting my whistle. They are this weird sort of like kind of 80s sounding, kind of like synth ballad. They did a song at the end of the Mass Effect game. I don't remember which one or three or two, I don't remember, maybe one. And then they did a song at the end, and they composed some of Oblivion, the Tom Cruise movie, which I actually really liked. F to Hades, I don't know. I like weird stuff. I like stuff other people don't like, as I talked about with the movie Torque. But their albums are actually super cool too. They're really out there and kind of heavily 80s inspired, which I'm finding myself in a true tailspin right now as far as enjoying 80s stuff. I'm getting super into Kavinsky. Well, I've been into Kavinsky for a couple years since what was it that started it? Probably Drive. And even before that, I was into, you know, Protector, 101, and what else? Big Nick. Sort of these groups that go from that heavy drum and beat or that 80s synth drop. But yeah, that's what I'm into these days. Yeah. Sorry to Sweetie that I didn't include her in this episode. I don't think she'd have much to say. It would just be me rambling about music. And actually, I would normally be listening to music this whole walk home, but anytime I'm not talking to my wife or working, I'm listening to something. I can't really be without music ever. And I'm really sad that, well, living in Japan, you really miss out on a lot of stuff. Like when I go to Tower Records, it's almost all, of course, almost all J-pop because it's probably from Japan, which I really don't like a lot of. I feel like J-pop peaked in the late 90s or the early 90s when it was still mostly 70s or 80s inspired. Japan's musical cycle is about 15 to 20 years behind the rest of like the US and Europe. Like there still hasn't been a wave of dubstep over here yet. That's already years past in the US, but it hasn't even really gotten here yet. So stuff like that. But yeah, you find how behind you are when you go to a store and you're like, this is the one thing, like I read about this on iTunes like a year ago when I was just getting here. And you feel like you go on iTunes and you don't know anything that's on there. I feel very behind. That's why I want to talk about stuff that I kind of forgot about. So anyway, if you guys have anything to add, hit me up, and see ya.